As you know, I studied for the priesthood in the Real Colegio de los Ingleses in Valladolid in Spain. Spain is now, of course, a very modern country with high-speed trains and well-connected motorways like the rest of Europe, very unlike my time of 50 years ago. Then, the train that we call the Shanghai Express took nearly 2 days to travel from La Coruña to Barcelona. Most of it was on a single-track railway with passing places every, 50 miles or something. And people would emerge from the pueblos en route and flag the train down like a bus, and then clamber on board and maybe hang a couple of live chickens from the coke hooks. Apart from the Costa Brava, tourists were very rare in the Spanish interior in those days, so we were something of a curiosity. In 5 minutes, they would know all about you, where you came from, what you did, and before long, there'd be goat skins of wine and hunks of cheese and chorizo which we shared round the carriage. Now, for a swinging 60s kid like me, who was used to silence on English trains, in the days, of course, before mobile phones enabled people to bellow their one-sided conversation throughout the carriage, the camaraderie was absolutely wonderful. The only drawback was that if you left your wooden seat, very hard wooden seat by the way, to go to the toilet, you'd have lost it by the time you got back. Today, we see two of John the Baptist's disciples directed by him to Jesus, clearly excited at the prospect of meeting him, but unlike my friends on the Shanghai Express, too shy to approach him, they sheepishly trail behind. When he stops, he looks around and he asks them what they want. They become tongue-tied, not knowing what to say, like that fan so starstruck at meeting Victoria Wood, who blurted out, "What's it like being married to Lenny Henry?" Lenny Henry, of course, was married to Dawn French at the time, but you know. Forgetting all the things that they would really like to ask these two disciples then, they just say, "Where do you live?" Jesus senses their awkwardness and so invites them to spend some time with him. And no doubt, you know, over the next few hours, rest of that day, they relax and become more themselves, while at the same time getting to know him better. The next day, obviously, a mesmeric effect on them, they can't wait to tell their friends and they invite them to meet him. "We found the Messiah, come and see." In that little vignette of the calling of the first apostles and how they passed on the good news, we see how God's call works and that it's the same for all of us. A, we need to be open and disposed to hear the call when it comes, which means seeking God with a sincere heart. "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." B, when the call comes, we need to respond, to go and see where he lives and learn from him, even if it means then making changes to our lifestyle, as it obviously did for the apostles. C, we have to tell others what we've learned and found, so that they too can hear God's call through us. And this is the process by which you and I, the majority of us anyway, came to faith. Somebody, our parents, the teachers at the school we went to, a stranger we had a religious discussion with maybe in a pub, a person who did us an extraordinary kindness when we were desperate, somebody, whoever it was, passed the faith on to us by telling us what they knew about Jesus. Rarely does God's call come in a sudden loud shout to wake us up from sleep, as it did for Samuel, or up front, as it did for Peter, and later Matthew, the tax collector. More often, it comes in whispers and quiet ways, often in the still of the night when you can't sleep. It comes in a billion different ways and is often very subtle, so we should take Eli's advice to Samuel to listen for it. If, like the two disciples, we want to know where Jesus lives, well, of course, he's here in the quietness of our hearts when we meditate on his word and scripture, when we receive him in Holy Communion, or when we slip into an empty church to spend a little time with him in the Blessed Sacrament. We also know that we'll find him when we're doing his work for our fellow human beings, particularly when they are homeless, in need, lying in a hospital bed, hungry, cold, or friendless. friendless without a friend. That's where he lives for sure, and from where his call comes. How we respond is a very personal thing, but a lot depends on the strength of our relationship with Christ. If there's real love at the centre of that relationship, well then it needs to be shared by introducing our friend to others.